It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, for another NFL Draft Prospect Profile is my co-host Adam Pfeiffer. Today, we are breaking down the other running back from North Carolina, which is how most people introduce this man. And it's a little bit of shame, obviously. Michael Carter coming out of North Carolina, excited to dive into his profile and break him down. Adam, what's going on, man?
Another awesome day, D-Bro. I am just like literally falling in love with the process of breaking down all these players. We'll talk about Michael Carter in a minute, but if you want more content for these players, we launched about a week or so ago the FTN Draft Hub, which is sick. I mean, you and I both have already dropped a couple written player profiles. Tyler Lochner's been dropping some. Kalachi's going to be doing some work there. Obviously, Jeff Ratcliffe, Brad Evans, Elliot. There's so much stuff there. There's prospect profiles. There's mock drafts. There's going to be free agency write-ups. Once that gets rolling, there's already a Carson Wentz breakdown. So check that out at FTN Fantasy. It is your one-stop. Actually, it's not one-stop because you have this stop and then that stop. Combine the podcast with the FTN Draft Hub and you're set for the NFL Draft. You're good.
Dude.
You're good to go.
It's fantastic. Elliot, you're talking about he dropped a 2-round mock for the Jets yesterday. We've got content just buzzing way through.
I'm surprised he actually mocked them to a quarterback and not just they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. I was surprised to see that.
I felt like he was doing his due diligence. Like, I was really surprised. Like, I clicked on it, and I thought it was going to be two sentences, and it just said, everything, all things, it does not matter, Deshaun Watson. So when I read all the analysis, I was happily surprised, obviously. But it was fire, man. I mean, you're looking at a way that team could remake itself. You got to head over to FTNFantasy.com today. Get signed up with the promo code FTC at sign up. Save 10%. Because here's the thing. That's all free content. But what we got going on across all three sites, so Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Daily, we have got all kinds of fire just flowing out daily, man. I mean, college basketball, like, it's February right now, dude, but March Madness is right around the corner. So that's coming up. We've got NBA. You and Mets are crushing the NBA podcast.
Javi just won another boatload of money. Took down another tournament, so shout out to Javi.
Javi took down 100K, man. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so look, I mean, we're talking about it. Multiple sports, multiple sites covering you on DFS, betting, all types of amazing content. Get signed up with FTC today. Save 10% on your sign up and just go start winning, man. It's just that simple, dude. So look, the guy we came here to talk about today, Michael Carter. Let's dive into it, Adam. Michael Carter stands at 5'8", 202. He's coming out of North Carolina. He's going to be age 21 walking into the NFL. You look at his profile overall, his yards per carry, 97th percentile at 8.0. He had an 8.4% target share this last season. And, I mean, look, the guy is, for a senior, staying 4 years in North Carolina, coming out at that age is good. His production profile overall, last two seasons, eclipsing 1,000 yards with 1,003 and then 1,200-plus yards this last season, 11 touchdowns. The guy, over the last three consecutive years, has had 21 or more receptions. Adam, talking about this guy, I mean, look, he wasn't a giant, like, massively hyped prospect entering North Carolina. Three-star prospect for 24/7 Sports. His senior year in high school, he was the USA Today Florida Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, look, just jumping off the page, what grabs you first glance with Michael Carter?
Yeah, so when he went to North Carolina, he was, I mean, this is a running back that was not a lead back at any point. He entered North Carolina and he split work with, I believe, TJ Logan and Elijah Hood in his freshman year. got 97 carries and still converted them into almost 600 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, super efficient. Then those guys enter the NFL, and Javonte Williams comes in, who we've obviously talked about. And those guys, it took a year for them to kind of get acclimated with each other. And then in 2020 and 2019, they just kind of both started themselves as the best, most dominant backfield tandem in college football. Like I said, in 2017, 2018, got off to a decent start. But then in 2019, hit the ground running with his first 1,000-yard season, 5 touchdowns. And then obviously last year, he and Javonte Williams just lit college football on fire. Michael Carter, 1,200 rushing yards, added nearly 300 receiving yards, 11 rushing touchdowns. Like you said, at a near 9% target share. They were a perfect tandem. I mean, Javonte Williams, we talked about it, was more of the Thunder, the power back, and Carter was the Lightning, the explosive running back. I mean, he led the nation in 15 plus yard carries last year. A lot of that, when I was watching, was massive holes for a lot of it, but it was also him finding the holes and making smart cuts after he gets to the second level, which turned those 9 to 15 yard runs into 30 yard runs. So I like Michael Carter. We'll talk about it. Is he going to be as fantasy relevant as, you know, a Travis Etienne or a Najee Harris or Javonte Williams? I don't think so, but we'll talk about it. There's a lot to like with him.
I mean, I really liked him, man. And let's dive into his strengths, dude. Like, watching the film, looking at his numbers, if you were just the short and skinny of it, what do you think are pluses for Michael Carter as far as skills, things that jumped out at you off the stats? I mean, tell me, man.
So there's one word that immediately stands out. We talked about Justin Fields, and the word I had for him was composure. That was the first word I thought of when watching him. For me, with Michael Carter, it's suddenness, right? Like, his ability to stop on a dime and make these cuts. He has really good, ability to just change speed and stop start. Like, I tweeted out a handful of clips on Tuesday night of him just breaking ankles, and he's a destroyer of ankles. Like, he is a smart cutter. He knows how to leverage his body and defenders' bodies to get in better position. Like, he's just very sudden with how he moves. There was a play, I believe it was against Wake Forest last year. They had him run a wheel route, and it was like, you saw that. It was
underlined on the page right now. Like, it's exactly like I have it, like, scratched in really hard. He took it for a touchdown down the sideline, and I was like, I was actually watching this highlight, and actually watching the game, and my wife is sitting over on the couch while I'm breaking this game down, and I was like, "Woo!" And she goes, what just happened? And I was like, oh my, I gotta compose myself for a second, man. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just watching some Michael Carter film. Excuse me. Sorry. Pardon me.
Yeah, that's the suddenness, though, that I was talking about, because he immediately looked covered by the linebacker, and then all of a sudden he slowed down a bit and immediately started going again. And the linebacker was well behind, and he took the wheel route, was like 30-something yards, and ended up scoring a touchdown. So that's what I'm talking about. It's just the ability to stop and start at an elite level, which makes him really good when he's, you know, looking for the hole. And we'll talk about it. I think that's another plus, is his vision. And we'll talk about some other strengths. But for me, the number one strength is that ability to stop and start. I think the suddenness from Michael Carter is really impressive to me.
I think it's extremely impressive considering what him and Javonte Williams were able to do. Go back and listen to the Javonte Williams episode. Discuss this there. But people, if they're just now tuning in, first time here, you want to know about what's up with Michael Carter, I'm going to bring this up again, man. These two running backs made this offensive line look a hell of a lot better than it actually is. Like, if you look at this offensive line on paper, 2019-2020, 16th and 67th in line yards, 71st, 74th in power success, and 49th and 101 in stuff rate. This was not a good offensive line. Like, not as good as these really, really talented running backs made it look. These guys had to create, in different ways, a lot for themselves. And what I saw out of Michael Carter, one, I mean, again, this is, you're talking about North Carolina. This is not like a massive school, not top flight. Like, this isn't Alabama we're talking about. This ain't LSU. This is not SEC. This is not like a program that we're going to discuss that has these just smaller type of high-end, ridiculous, five-star recruits, just littered up and down the depth chart. And in the competition, I think that people can look at it and say, okay, well, they probably didn't play very many good teams. Dude, if you look at North Carolina, who they played last in 2020, they played Virginia, who is 20th in line yards allowed. Wake Forest, like you mentioned, 41st and 34th in success rate. Notre Dame. Miami was on paper a good run defense. Michael Carter just stacked really damn good games versus all these. And I didn't even mention NC State. They were top 30 in multiple defensive metrics against the run. Michael Carter versus those teams. 17 for 106, 9 for 64, 16 for 74. Destroyed Miami. 24 for 308. Notre Dame, an efficient 8 for 57. Like, these are all really good stat lines in efficiency on per carry basis. And he had the blow-up games against top competition as well. So if you're going to shade him for where he went to school, I'm sorry. Like, you need to dig a little bit deeper. The dude's still balled out. And we're talking about strengths, man. I absolutely agree with you. Michael Carter has the ability to stop and start, like, and change directions. It is fantastic. And you compare him versus other running backs in this draft class, like somebody like a Travis Etienne, who has amazing straight line speed. And if you line them up, Etienne would burn him in a freaking foot race. But you put him on an NFL field, Etienne doesn't have the same lateral agility and the ability to change directions like a Michael Carter does. And if you're not talking about just pure burning, like feet on fire speed, give me the guy that considering change directions like a Michael Carter, and you marry that with his vision. Like, Michael Carter's ability to set up defenders, not only getting small through the holes and pressing the line and exploding outside, his ability at the second level and in the secondary to extend some of these runs, considering what he's doing, to set up defenders, and as far as beating these guys, it's fantastic, dude. And that's what you see. Players, especially at the NFL level, where everybody runs a freaking 4-4, you see some of these guys differentiate themselves and succeed versus guys that are just relying on, okay, well, I can run past you. It's not a problem because I'm faster than everybody else that I've played all the way up entirety of my life, high school, college. Like, I'm faster than you. I can run around you. I can run circles around you. Michael Carter, like, I'm not going to be surprised if he runs a 4-5. And I don't care, Adam. I don't care if he runs a 4-5. And we'll get into weaknesses and concerns here in a little bit, but I think that he's fast enough. If he comes in and he surprises people with his short area stuff, like his timing, I won't be surprised at all because it's there on film.
Player that's more quick than fast, but it doesn't mean yes. He's slow. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't yes. mean he's slow. I agree. No. I think he's going to run like a low – if he's in a – he could run a 4-4, but if he does run in the 4-5, it's going to be very low 4-5s.
Yeah, I think he comes somewhere in the 4-5s, unless he's just trying to cut weight, which and we'll get to concerns. I hope he doesn't do that. Like, I'm going to be fine with a 4-5. And we're talking about his ability to also, what he's shown on tape, like, considering his size, he can break some tackles, dude. Like, in 2020, he was 9th in yards after contact per attempt at 4.47. We're telling you that the offensive line is not great, so the dude is creating for himself. He ran multiple different types of scheme, like 56% zone, 44% gap. So can he ball out in a zone scheme? Yes. His ability to press the hole and explode is exactly what you want. And marry that with his vision? It's good, man. I like him, and I know that we're sitting here just talking about all these great things about Michael Carter. His ability in the passing game as well is fantastic. Like, I love his ability to run routes. Now, is he the most accomplished route runner that I've ever seen at the running back position? No. But do I think that he could play in that as far as, like, does that translate to the NFL? You're talking about Wake Forest. I saw him run multiple routes out of the backfield. We talked about the wheel route. He ran other routes in that game. You talk about Syracuse. He logged 6 catches versus them. The guy can make some things happen in the passing game. And that's something that, especially in today's NFL, we want to see, Adam. Like, I'm concerned for you both in the NFL structure as well as in fantasy if you can't catch freaking passes. So that is another feather in the cap for Michael Carter, man. As well as he's a guy that I don't think that at the next level he's going to be a 20 carry a game back. Like, and I don't want him to be. I don't. Like, what he's going to do at the NFL level, I wanted to stay healthy. I wanted to stay on an NFL field. Like, I think that he has the size to sit there and handle 15 touches, 17 touches a game on the ground. I don't think that considering where he goes and the efficiency that he could possibly have on a per-touch basis, I would be fine if you're talking about him as a guy that gets 14 to 15 carries a game, and then he supplements and he gets 3 or 4 receptions a game. That's totally fine. I don't think he's going to be a 20-carry guy at the NFL level, but you look at the last season at North Carolina, 7 of his 11 games, he had 16 or more carries, so he proved to you that in a voluminous role, in a role where he's going to get mid-teens touches as well as supplement, maybe even a little bit more in the passing game, the NFL level, can he be a total 20-touch back in various games, or how 17 touches would be very, very productive for us in fantasy and real life? Yes, and that's the role I actually feel fine with him going to the next level in.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get to my player comp for him. Mm-hmm. But I think Michael Carter is going to be a player, especially because I think he's going to be like a third-round draft pick, to where he gets drafted by a team to be the backup. But if the starter goes down, they're not going to all of a sudden be like, okay, we got to bring somebody else in because Michael Carter can't handle 15 to 18 touches. I think he's going to be a guy that – when your starter is healthy, he's getting, you know, 6 to 8 touches, unless your starter's like, you know, the elite of the elite running backs that just don't come off the field very often. And then if that starter misses time, I think Michael Carter is going to be a player that isn't viewed as somebody that will still only get 6 to 8 touches. I think he'll be perfectly fine getting 15 to 18 if he's thrust into a larger role.
We've discussed all the strengths, things that we think that he does extremely well. Let's flip this, Adam. Where are areas of Michael Carter's game that you think he can improve on, or even concerns that you have right now?
I hate saying this because growing up, I was like the smallest kid in my school. But obviously, like, the size isn't ideal. 5'8", maybe 200 pounds, he talked about. Like, he'll probably be like 202, maybe.
Yeah, so this was brought up on Twitter, and I didn't see this because when our timelines get blown up, like when it was Senior Bowl day, and it's like, I see on my timeline there's 75 freaking tweets about, like, here's a measurable, here's hand size Twitter, here's BMI Twitter. And I'm like, bro, I can't see anything. So I missed this, but he actually weighed in. And shout out to everybody on Twitter for pointing this out to me. Our friends over at Roster Watch, my dude Kev Steele, pointed this out on Twitter. He weighed in at 202 at the Senior Bowl. So that's a recorded weight. Because I was going to sit here and talk about, like, I have concerns about his size. And not to cut you off, dude, but
no, knowing you're good.
That he has gotten on a quote-unquote, and I'm doing the air quotes here, verified scale, and he's above 200 pounds, and he's 202, what are your thoughts there? Like, is that good enough for you to feel okay about his volume at the next level? Because I'm there. Like, I think that's big enough.
Yeah, I wasn't concerned about his size from him getting the ball perspective. It's just how often is he going to, you know, break tackles? And then I think we'll both agree that the most glaring weakness is pass pro. Like, and it's not even his fault, right? Like, there was plays at North Carolina where he had to stay in pass pro against a blitzer, made a great effort. It's just the guy was a lot larger than him, and just kind of
You talking about the game versus Notre Dame where the free rusher just blew him up? And
yeah,
but
he stood in there strong. He was at a disadvantage, but like, I would rather have a player that's like at least still invested in pass blocking and puts an effort. Like, there was other plays where he I forget which game it was, but he got low on the block and actually made a nice block in pass pro. There was another one where he just, I don't even know if it was his fault, but there was like 2 free rushers and he took his eye off one of them and he got behind him. It's like, that's obviously not going to be a strength for him at 5'8", 202. Mm-hmm. But I'm also in the area where it's like, at least he's putting in the effort. Like, zero of the miscues he had in pass pro that I watched, at least, were because of lack of effort.
And really, that's really what you want. And I before diving into his profile, I had heard some of the concerns about his pass protection and stuff like that. And before I even mention all that, with all of the size stuff, I really want you to hit certain thresholds. Like, would I be happier? Would I like it if Michael Carter was 210, 215? Of course. The fact that he is around 200, 205, coming in at 202. Now, some of these guys, like what their playing weight is and what they're able to bulk up to, because also being in an NFL-level strength and conditioning program is still even different than being at the collegiate level. Like, there are multiple guys that you see that whether after a year in an NFL program, do they look different? Do they get faster? Do they get a little bit bigger? You know, sometimes you see that going from high school to college. Sometimes you see that even going from college to the pros. So it could still happen that he can still put on a little bit of weight in the process of being an NFL player. But right. Going into the NFL, I want to see him above 200. I think that really that, for me, considering his running style and stuff, like I think that he can break tackles and absorb content, but that's not going to be how he wins at the NFL level. And it's not something that I see him when I watch him on the field where he's just seeking out contact.
No, but he, like, has good balance. So, like, if he takes a hit, there'll be times where, like, he can put his...
Or he'll run out of bounds.
He'll put his hand on the ground sometimes, too, and keep his balance. Like, you're obviously not expecting Michael Carter to just run over guys. I think he's... Like, spatial awareness is another thing I saw from him. Like, he kind of just knew where to run with the football when he got to the second level a lot of the time I watched him.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about. Like, I don't need you to have a 4.3 speed to sit here and break off a 20 or 30-yard run. If you have the vision to compensate for what you lack as far as, like, just straight-up burner speed, then that's fine, man. Like, I don't care if you bust 80-yard runs. You bust 30-yard runs, we're good, baby. But as far as getting back to the pass pro concerns, in 2020, you saw Javonte Williams take over as North Carolina's main pass protection back. Like, he eclipsed Michael Carter in pass pro snaps 64 to 32. And some of this, it's because Michael Carter in 2020 wasn't very good. Now, whether that's as far as whether that's technique, whether that's who they're playing, whether that's size of the rushers, whether there's a lot of different factors that go into that, it still needs to be brought up here, or just that he didn't play well in it. Like, it needs to be brought up here because in 2020, 32 pass protection snaps, 2 hurries allowed, 3 pressures. That's not great, especially if you consider 2017 to 2019. He had 175 pass protection snaps. 6 hurries and 8 pressures allowed. So you're looking at over five times the amount of snaps, and he gave up nearly a third of what he did comparably. Like, I don't know if it was poor play. I don't know if it was competition or what have you, or if they're just like, because Javonte Williams, going back, and people need to go back to listen to, like, what we said about Javonte Williams. He was fantastic in pass protection. So this could also be like, look, you're a smaller back. You're struggling in this, or considering who we're playing, we're going to put Javonte in here because he's bigger and he's really damn good at pass protection. So if you look at his entire career at North Carolina, if everybody's just looking at 2020, we need to zoom out a little bit. I think that there are concerns there, and some of that is, I mean, look, everybody in the NFL is going to be really damn fast and big. You know, so how much is he utilized? How well does he do these things? Or as well as, which version of Michael Carter do we get? Do we get the 2017 to 2019 version of pass protection, or do we get 2020 and he lost the job to Javonte Williams? Like, that is a concern, because does he lose that job at the next level because either a back is better at it than him, or they're bigger and they can hold up better? These are concerns, because you're talking about a guy that does run good routes, does play in the passing game. Does he lose some of those snaps? And for a player that is not big, like, at least big enough when we're talking about he can handle 20 to 25 carries at the next level, it is a concern if you're going to lose pass game snaps and your targets just by not being on the field, do they trickle down a little bit? Instead of you getting 4 targets in the game, do you get 2 targets? So considering his skill set, considering all of that, his body of work, I mean, what are your thoughts there, Adam?
Yeah, it's a concern, but it's also going to be very team dependent where he goes, what they ask him to do, who else is in the backfield around him. But we've seen, like, what if he comes in and they just have him run quick routes instead of staying in pass block and just have their tight ends. Like, what if he goes to a team that doesn't have their tight ends used in the passing game very often, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that you still have to kind of take into consideration as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, man. So, I mean, we've talked about pluses, minuses, things that he can improve on in his game. Break this down for me, man. I mean, looking at Michael Carter, his size, speed, skill set, we talk about some player comps here, man. Who do you think he reminds you of?
It feels very lazy because of the same school narrative. But first person I saw when I watched him was Giovanni Bernard.
Okay.
Very first person. The size is identical, 5'8", 202. That's Giovanni Bernard's measurables right now. So that helps. More quick than fast in the same mode. I think Gio is and was in college a more, you know, tough runner in terms of breaking tackles, but obviously it's not his forte either. Both very, very good at being shifty and cutting. Very, very capable in the passing game. I see a lot of Gio. I see some Duke Johnson as well. And I also see a little bit of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And a lot of people earlier in the offseason were like, yeah, Michael Carter is essentially this year's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's going to go in the third round and didn't play at LSU. And I kind of see it. I think they're both, with that cutting ability, they're both great pass catchers. Same thing with Clyde. I think he's going to break more tackles. But those three running backs were the first three that I saw. Gio, Duke Johnson, and later when I watched it, and I went back and watched some Clyde from his last season at LSU. Saw a little bit of Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. But Gio, it's just it felt too easy. But at the same time, there's a reason it felt too easy. It's because they're very, very similar, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no disagreements. And it's funny you bring up CEH because some of the things that we saw even kind of plague him into this rookie season, we saw him lose pass game snaps to Darrell Williams as far as with pass protection and stuff like that. So as I was discussing that earlier, the name that actually popped in my head as well was CEH. But the guy that jumped out to me or at least the two guys, that I was reminded of as far as running style, and there are some differences because no player comp's perfect. But the two guys that I was reminded of, and we saw differing amounts of draft capital thrown behind them, and this is a little bit of a stretch in between them when these two guys were drafted. I saw Chase Edmonds and I saw Ameer Abdullah, and people are going to automatically hear Ameer Abdullah and think about what he didn't do at the NFL level and what he couldn't do and blah, 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 and all the hype. First of all, we need to kind of squash that. Ameer Abdullah, if you go back and watch his college tape, there was a reason the dude was a second-round pick. He was fantastic in college. Now, yes, he shouldered a larger volume role in college than we've ever seen Michael Carter. And that I'm talking about running styles. I'm talking about the ability to cut and dart and where he – the ability that he has when running the ball as well as to play in the passing game. Now, there are some differences in both of these guys. I think that the lateral agility, and I'm talking about the nuance to the running, I think is comparable. Where I think it's different when I watch those two guys versus a Michael Carter. I think Michael Carter's vision and his ability to set up defenders at the second level, the nuance that he runs with is even better than both of those guys. Like, I think that he is a better runner as far as his vision goes than either one of them. So there are some differences there. Now, where I'm talking about both of these guys, you saw one was a second-round pick, one was a fourth-round pick. You know, so where does Michael Carter go in the NFL draft? And, I mean, Adam, where do you see him possibly landing? Like, in that third round, fourth round, second round range? Like, what are some teams that jump out to you? Where do you think that he lands as far as what round does he possibly get drafted in?
Yeah, and real quick before I get to that, the reason I mentioned Gio when I talked to him earlier, I talked about how I don't think he's going to be drafted as a lead back, but if somebody gets hurt, like that's what Gio's been, you know, the last couple of years, whether it's been Jeremy Hill missing time and obviously Mixon's missed a lot of time the last couple of years, they've had no issue. I know last year they brought in, you know, they gave Samaje Perine a little bit of run, but it was mostly Gio. Like that's why I think it's such a good comp. As for landing spots, I think Michael Carter will go in the third round, and I think he's going to go to a team that is looking to upgrade their backup running back. And we heard a lot about the Giants wanting to do that. Would it be the best situation for fantasy if Michael Carter was playing behind Saquon Barkley? No, absolutely not. But Barkley's obviously missed time the last couple of years. I think that makes a lot of sense for the Giants. It wouldn't be the best for Michael Carter for fantasy, obviously. but I could really see that being a spot. And we've done a handful of running backs on this on these pods already, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about landing spots, a lot of the same ones, right? Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets. We haven't talked about the Texans. What if they cut David Johnson? I'm not saying Michael Carter will go there because like they have Duke Johnson. So I think Duke Johnson, like they could get away from both those guys, I believe. David Johnson, especially, like he has a near $9 million cap hit. So just in general, like running back could be a sneaky spot there too. But I think the Giants make a lot of sense for real life. For fantasy, it's tough because there's going to be at least, what, three running backs drafted before him, we would imagine, with Harris, Etienne, and Javonte. So it's like there's three teams right off the bat that are going to need running backs that will draft one and then won't draft Michael Carter in the third round. I struggle with another spot for him to come in as a rookie and get meaningful touches for fantasy. You know what I mean? Buffalo, no. Like I'm assuming the Jets or Dolphins take one of the other running backs we mentioned.
Yep, agreed.
And if they do take Carter and just wait, like the Dolphins have been linked to Aaron Jones as well. So it's like I struggle to find a spot where he's going to land and be somewhat relevant for fantasy right out of the gate. So I think the Giants make a lot of sense just for them.
Could you see the Cincinnati?
Well, no, but they could get out from Geo this year, can't they?
And get the younger version of Geo? I mean, is that crazy to say?
No. It would be very, very ironic, but no.
Now, other teams in the top part of the third round, the Jaguars are there, the Jets are there, the Falcons are there.
That's a good one. I could see Jacksonville going with him there.
Well, these are all teams that, like, I think that they could all address the running back position earlier. Jacksonville could take him in the third round. That's possible. But I do think the Jets and Falcons possibly – are those good landing spots? Yes. But I think that both of those teams could and probably do address the running back position earlier than that. Looking at other landing spots,
he'd be a great player to pair with James Robinson.
Looking at other landing spots, I think Denver makes a lot of sense if Philip Lindsay is not retained because he's an RFA this year. Other landing spots that also jump out, I mean, the Chargers, if they look at him, because I mean, look, the new coaching staff, they don't have any allegiances to Joshua Kelly. You know, I love Joshua Kelly, but it's a fact. If they look at him as, like, the eventual replacement for Austin Eckler, if not a direct backup to Austin Eckler in that role, the spots that make a ton of sense to me, I mean, like we talked about, I think Denver makes a good bit of sense. What you're hoping for Michael Carter, like we're talking about, is for him to go to a place where there's at least a path. Maybe not in 2021, but a path, like, if a running back is cut, is not re-signed walking into the next season. Or if there's an injury, could Michael Carter step in and be that dude?
And he could still, like, I glossed over the Jets, but, like, there's no guarantee the Jets take Etienne or Harris in the first round or second round, and they just say, okay, let's get weapons, let's get, let's get a receiver with our early pick, let's continue to improve the offensive line. We drafted Mekhi Becton last year, let's get the other side kind of in check, and then later in the third or fourth round, take Michael Carter. And then all of a sudden, that'd be the best path for him to be a 15-touch back.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. The other team that I want to bring up here before we get out of this real fast, Arizona Cardinals is sitting there at 80. Mm-hmm. I know that they took Chase Edmonds. I know that, like, if they don't re-sign Kenyon Drake, to see them address the running back position. And I'm talking about I don't want people to walk away from this and say, well, that's the comp you gave, so of course maybe you're like with the team. There are teams that draft similar styles of running backs, like what they want out of the position. You're looking at, okay, they have Chase Edmonds on the roster. If they view Carter as a younger, even possibly an upgrade to Chase Edmonds, considering what their thoughts are, or a one-for-one. So, like, if they don't re-sign Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds walks in as the starter, they invest a third-round pick. Yeah, so, I mean, dude, you're looking at Chase Edmonds like I'm talking about. Could they look at him as the replacement for Chase Edmonds? I mean, or let the two of them duke it out for that starter's role? Chase Edmonds, after 2021, he's an unrestricted free agent, Adam. So could Michael Carter step in? If Chase Edmonds is the guy this year, they don't re-sign Kenyon Drake. Could Michael Carter be the heir apparent, the guy that, or even the backfield mate for Chase Edmonds, being the 1B to his 1A, or have the possibility to take over the 1A role? Am I crazy in saying that?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, you're crazy, but not for that.
All right, everyone. That is our prospect profile for Michael Carter. Again, you need to be heading over to the Twitter page, at ChalkFade. Follow us on Twitter. You need to get entered to win this signed Calvin Ridley jersey that we're going to be giving away. Two easy steps. Head over to iTunes, give us a rate review, screenshot said review, slide up into the DMs for the Twitter page, send us that picture of the review. You entered to win. We hit 200 reviews. This thing's getting shipped out. We're going to announce it out on Twitter. So Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be talking to Thor Nystrom from NBC, breaking down some awesome receivers for this upcoming NFL draft class. You do not want to miss these episodes. They are going to be fire. For this episode of Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.